Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett.
No, you're not. You're Preston.
Violin music by Becca Greenouch.
Joseph Smith had a revelation that Missouri was to be the promised land, specifically Jackson County. It turns out that the Jackson County residents weren't on board with that revelation, however. In our next conversation with Dr. Alex Baugh, we're going to talk about what are the things that led to Mormons and Missourians having such a hard time getting along. Check out our conversation.
Well, welcome to Gospel Tangents. I have a fantastic guest. Could you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Rick. Alexander L. Baugh. I have to say my full name because my mother would, that's what she gave me.
Oh, really?
But I'm a professor here at Brigham Young University in church history and doctrine.
Okay.
And currently the department chair.
I was going to say that.
So anyway.
So not just any average historian, you're the department chair.
Well, maybe by default. I just as soon teach and write and research, but somebody's got to be an administrator. So here I am. I've been for 3 years, so my they don't go very long.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So just kind of a temporary thing.
Yeah. Kind of do our turn.
Well, and I know I've heard you speak many times, which is why I had you, I wanted to talk to you here on Gospel Tangents, because I think you're a very fantastic speaker, and I think people will really enjoy this. So.
Well, thank you, Rick. I love talking about early LDS church history. Missouri's my real specialty. I guess that's the part I've felt like I needed to make a contribution or wanted to make a contribution. But, you know, at BYU and when as we teach, we have to know the whole gambit of LDS history. I mean, it's just you've got to know something about everything.
Mm-hmm.
But we encourage our faculty to specialize, too, and to try to become a specialist in an area so that you can be an expert.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of Dick Bennett, one of my colleagues, said when it comes to research and writing, our faculty should be a foot wide and 40 feet deep and not an inch wide or an inch deep and 40 feet long. We need to know that too, but we need to specialize, need to become an expert in some area.
Yeah, so, well, he was one of my first interviews.
So yeah, he's great.
He's awesome. So.
Dick's a wonderful colleague.
Yeah, so. He's great. Well, can you tell us a little bit about your academic history? Where did you go to school and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I graduated from Utah State. I'm a Logan boy.
You're an Aggie?
An Aggie. Born and raised in Logan. My parents worked for the university. I mean, it was just assumed we'd all graduate from up there, which we did. Well, actually, I had a sister not graduate, but we're born and bred Cache Valley, Logan people. I actually started, Rick, in marriage and family studies.
Oh, really?
Went on a mission to Virginia, came back, and I kind of got the history bug, but I was far enough along in my program, I thought, well, we'll just kind of carry through with the marriage and family studies. And I thought, really, at the time, I did want to teach seminary. And so I thought, well, maybe if I had a marriage and family background, I could do some counseling on the side, make a little extra money.
Oh, wow.
But so I went through, but I started taking history classes, but I didn't minor in history. I thought, well, if the chance ever came to maybe get another degree in history, let's see what happens. And so I got hired by the church education system, started teaching seminary in 1981, following my graduation.
Mm.
And then that fall, BYU announced that it was having that they were going to do a Western American history program, master's degree.
Mm.
So I came down, talked to the department chair at the time, and he said, well, you don't have any history emphasis in your previous degree. And I said, well, that's true. So they wouldn't let me in unless I went back and took some classes. And I wrote a senior paper, even though, again, I graduated. It took me a couple of years. I came down here to take classes, and I took a couple at the Salt Lake Center. Anyway, finally, I guess, showed I had some proclivity, and they let me in.
Mm.
So then it took me 4 years. I was still teaching full-time, so I did two more years of coursework in the master's program. Fred Gowans was my chair. And then it took me about 2 years to write the thesis. It was on Fremont's expeditions into Utah.
Oh, okay.
And how that influenced Mormon history. Anyway, I finished that up and I immediately said, I really need to work on a doctorate. So I applied and got in the PhD program.
At BYU as well.
Here at BYU. They don't have it anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. But and I'm one of the last that was came through here. But anyway, so I had an opportunity to come down here. And so I taught part-time for 4 years, took classes, prepared for my comps and orals. And then the LDS Church sent me to South Carolina. So I was ABD.
Oh, really? I served my mission in South Carolina. Oh, what part?
Well, we were right there in Columbia.
Right.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. I love the South. There was a wonderful experience. So we were there 3 years. Then they brought me back to help me finish up. And I was here at BYU, again, part-time teaching. And an opening came. And they encouraged me to apply, and I got it. So
wow.
I finished up the degree. And that one, of course, is in American history, a minor in European, area of strength, Western American history, and outside area, Mormon. So those were my four areas I studied. And then, but I had this Missouri bug, and that's a whole nother story about that. But I did a paper on the Battle of Crooked River, and I thought, somebody needs to look at the Missouri War a little better. Leland Gentry had done some things, excellent dissertation, Max Parkin as well. And then Stephen LeSueur had done a book on the Missouri War, but I felt I need to do some revisionist history. I didn't agree with everything of Stephen. He's a good historian, but I felt like he didn't find the right interpretation sometimes. So anyway, I was fortunate enough to convince my committee that I could do that. And so I did my dissertation on, it was called a Call to Arms, the 1838 Mormon Defense of Northern Missouri. So I've tried to build on that dissertation during my entire academic career, and
wow.
Just keep digging, keep finding new things. And there's more to, you know, I think, who was it once said, some people think all's been done in Mormon history. And it really hasn't.
That a lot.
It really hasn't. I mean, I think what we've really written is only a prelude, really. I could write till the day I die, and I hope I do, but and still not uncover what needs to be, what could be said and could be written. So there's a lot to do.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, great. Yeah, I do believe you are probably the premier expert on Missouri Mormonism. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, there's others who are, again, you build on the shoulders of others. But I've tried to really focus much of my writing on that. That doesn't mean I haven't done other areas of Mormon history, and I maybe shouldn't call it Mormon history now, LDS history, but I have to say, that's been my focus, but there's other people out there doing great things. So I just count myself among the many there, but hopefully that, we're all building monuments in life, and when we die, I hope that there's a monument that I've written, some things that might be of worth to the church and to the next generation, and to help us understand who we were and what we did and why things happened. So I hope that when my days are done, that I've left something of worth and value to the profession and to the church.
Yeah, well, that's great. So, well, I was in Independence in June. And I got to tour I went to the Temple Lot Church, I went to the Cutlerite Church, I went to the Remnant Church, I went to the Community of Christ Temple, I went to our Visitor Center. There's a lot of stuff in Independence. It's just a fantastic place. So, so let's talk a little bit about the hostilities. And I want to ask this question because I think it can be a little bit overstated, and so I'd like to get your opinion on this. I know that there was the Missouri thesis as far as trying to say that the reason why we have the race ban was because of slavery and that sort of a thing. I think that's been a little bit debunked. But we do have, you've got Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, came from the Northeast.
Yeah.
And then had the revelation, that
Zion.
Zion's going to be in Missouri, yeah. Jackson County. And then you had the local Missouri settlers that were pro-slavery. And Joseph Smith wasn't pro-slavery, wasn't anti-slavery.
I think what you're heading at here, Rick, is the fact that we just did not mix in the Missouri, in Missouri.
Can we talk about what?
I think there was a lot of things. First of all, we were Northerners, and most of the Missourians were transplanted Southerners.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the western part of the state, it was Kentucky and Tennessee. Now, that's the upper South, at least Kentucky. We were Northerners, non-slave owners, primarily, and Missouri was a slave state. I mean, it came in with the Missouri Compromise as a slave state. So slavery had a bearing there. And, of course, Jackson County, we had the incident regarding Phelps and the Free People of Color and so on. So that's definitely an issue.
Well, let's go into that a little bit more.
Well, I think that's important, but I'm just saying I don't think it was the number one thing.
Okay.
So there's politically, we're basically Democrats now in Jackson County.
Mormons were Democrats? Did you just say that?
No question. Yeah. Yeah. So
what happened?
Politically, we were Democrats, which in Jackson County, I mean, it's named after Andrew Jackson. I mean, Jacksonian Democracy Jackson. So politically, we're a little more aligned that way, but that pans out differently depending on where we were and so on. We're definitely not many Whigs in the church. So there's the political issue. Although, again, I think what Missourians were more worried about, Rick, was not so much the Missouri Mormons were Democrats, but that the Mormons would hold office and be the ones who would govern. They kicked us out of Jackson County in 1833 at the right time, if you would want to say it that way. Had Mormons continued to immigrate, they would have been they would have outnumbered the local citizenry. There's no question. So the political aspect was more numbers than the difference in political parties.
Okay.
They just didn't want the Mormons being the ones who were making the laws and carrying out the edicts, whatever.
So was it religion or was it politics that was the bigger issue?
Yeah, well, it's always religion. And that was my point. You can look at the slave issue. You can look at Northerners versus Southerners. You can look at the social. I think we can safely say that I think at least in Jackson County, the Mormons were a little bit of a cut above some of the frontier Missourians. That doesn't mean that some of the Missourians were not well educated and sophisticated, not sophisticated, but at least bright people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the Mormons were probably a little bit of a cut above. At least in, like I say, Jackson County, maybe not as much in Clay. There's some bright people in Clay County. Oh, my gosh. We've got a future U.S. Senator David Rice Acheson. There are just some bright political figures in Clay County. But the point is, political, social, economic, the Mormons were rather clannish. We traded among ourselves. That doesn't mean we didn't help support the local economy and the local merchants, but we were trying to implement consecration. But the underlying thing, Rick, was we were seen as religious radicals. I mean, we went against the Christian elements of the day. We believed in strong prophetic leadership. We believed we didn't believe in the Trinity. We claimed visions. I'm just trying to think here. Again, we practiced consecration. That was part of our economic element that we combined together to support each other. We believed in additional scripture. Oh my gosh, that went against a Bible. So we were seen as on the religious fringe. We just did not. If we would have been any other faith, there would have been no problem. and we could have still had some of those differences and probably lived peacefully. But it was oil and water. We just didn't mix.
Wow. So
it was a lot of things.
So we can't say it's only religious persecution. It's kind of religious and political kind of combined.
Yeah, and social, economic. Yeah. How did we view the Native American? We viewed them as the House of Israel. That wouldn't go well with the Missourian. And most Americans, we're trying to push them away, and yet we're saying they're the House of Israel.
Missourians are trying to push them.
Oh yeah, well, all Americans. We're trying to, you know, Indian removal. They're less than human. I mean, and yet we're, you know, what did we come out there for initially was to preach the gospel to the Lamanites or the Native Americans. So mm-hmm. a lot of factors that just weren't going to mix well with the local citizenry.
And was Joseph Smith, he wasn't a fan of Andrew Jackson, is that true?
Well, no, I think, again, as far as his own politics, I think we'd have to say he was a Jacksonian Democrat, yeah.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd have to say that. And he wasn't a Whig. But, of course...
But he didn't like Jackson's Indian removal policies, I guess.
Well, I don't know how. I'll be honest with you, I don't know how he really felt about that. He didn't have a lot of say in it, but I'm not sure. At that point. Now, again, Nauvoo, things change a little bit. He's gone back there. He doesn't like Van Buren. Van Buren wasn't willing to do anything to help the Mormons in their redress petitions and so on. But his trip to Washington changes his political direction, I think, a little bit. But so anyway.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, Well, let me throw this one more thing, because I recently spoke with Dan Vogel, and he has made the case, and I'd be interested if you agree or disagree, that President Jackson was a Mason, and Joseph Smith, especially in the Missouri period, did not like Masonry and was anti-Jackson. So it sounds like you disagree with that. Is that?
Well, his father was a Mason. His brother was a Mason.
Whose father?
Joseph's.
Joseph's father was a Mason.
I was just back in Philadelphia. I was back in Philadelphia just a few weeks ago, and it went through the Philadelphia Masonic Temple.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure if Jackson was, but I remember they had a list of all the presidents who were Masonic or Masons.
Because I know George Washington was a Mason.
Oh, yeah, and, definitely.
And,
yeah.
And I believe, was Jefferson, I believe he was? Maybe, I'm not sure on that. But
I could find that out in about 5 minutes, but because I took a note on it, but I can't remember which ones exactly.
A lot of the last
U.S. president was a Mason was Gerald Ford. I remember that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I don't know if that point in time that played into it at all, the Masonic element in Missouri. I don't think there's. I don't see any of that emerging during that time.
So. Interesting.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Alex Baugh from BYU. In our next conversation, we'll talk about the things that Jackson County residents did to Bishop Edward Partridge and W.W. Phelps.
He's just given sign or else, and he's going, no way. And so they took more aggressive action and went and got him and pulled him into the north part of the town square and northwest corner and tarred and feathered him and another Latter-day Saint, and then they went over to Phelps's printing press, just a block away, and went ransacked the building, destroyed the press. And
if you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please support Gospel Tangents and become a subscriber. For just $5 a month, go to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview. And you can also get transcripts available in either our Amazon website, or if you want to give the money to me and not Amazon, please subscribe on my website at gospeltangents.com, and you can click the yellow subscribe button. Of course, we're also on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. And don't forget to click here to subscribe on YouTube, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again for listening.